A good gift. Everyone loves a good gift, do we not? And of course, it's almost redundant to say a good gift, because I think most people would agree that gifts inherently are good, unless they're a gag gift or something like that that might annoy us. And of course, today, within our secular life and world, there's a celebration going on that we don't officially recognize in the church, but we certainly recognize the institution and honor the institution of motherhood, so Mother's Day. And so some of you moms out there perhaps have already gotten a gift today, or maybe you're anticipating a gift from your children or your husband. Maybe that's a gift of a good meal. Maybe it's a gift of a card with maybe just some expression of love. And maybe it's a gift of money. But this morning, as we consider the epistle lesson from St. James, I want us to consider the gift which he is talking about in different terms. You see, in the epistle lesson, and this is St. James, if you remember, he's the brother of our Lord. He's the brother of our Lord who initially rejected his brother as the Messiah, who denied and was a man of unbelief. And it wasn't until after his death and burial and resurrection that St. James came to the faith, and that he eventually was appointed and became the first bishop of Jerusalem. But here's a man who had his own struggles, who's talking about a good gift. But he does so, and to really get the context for this, we really have to understand what he is talking about preceding that. And if you back up to verse 13, this is James chapter 1. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And he goes on to say, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." So very clearly, St. James is teaching us and giving to us the reality that our fall into sin, our being drawn away from the righteousness and holiness of God, is actually most eminent within ourselves, within the brokenness of our own souls, within our disordered passions that draw us away as those disordered and sinful passions become stirred up. Stirred up, I say, by our own volition, by our own choice. And he goes on to say, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when desire has conceived," that is, the impulse is planted in the soul in reaction to something, and now it's conceived. That is, we have given it birth. We have given that sin, or we have given that thought, that impulse, birth, such that it is now sin in motion. It is now sin in motion. Birth to sin, and when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It brings forth death. He says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And this is where our epistle lesson picks up this morning in verse 17. "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." He says every good and perfect gift is from above. In the Eastern Rite of the Holy Orthodox Church, this is a prayer. This is a prayer that is recited during the liturgy before the Christ icon, after having offered the gifts. It says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above." It's important that I explain the context of this, because I think that as we are moving through and as we are closing out this season of Paschal Tide, as we get farther and farther away from, in temporal terms, away from the joy of Pascha, we have the tendency to fall back into old habits, to become victim of old patterns of disordered passions and falling into old sins. But I want us to hear that every good and every perfect gift is from above. Now, the other important aspect of this is the word here, perfect gift. I think we can all look back in our lives and say, you know, that was a really great gift I got. That either that Christmas, for that birthday, for that anniversary, that was a wonderful gift. Korea, Pamela and I just had the wonderful gift of being able to go to Ireland. But even that was not a perfect gift. We could always point to things that were imperfect about it. The rain, the time of year, or what have you. Getting sick when we came back, I did at least. We could point to those things. But the perfection here is that is talked about in the Greek really references that which brings something to fulfillment. In other words, the perfection is not in of itself, but is in joined to something else. There is something else being enjoined to that, which creates the perfection of that gift. It's not just, if the gift is us, it is not the gift of ourselves alone that makes the perfect gift, but rather us being enjoined with something else. There is the perfection that comes. And we get an understanding of what St. James is talking about in the next verse. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And we know that he's talking about the word of truth, that is Jesus, the Logos, that we might be a first kind of first fruits of his creatures. That is, that we, in having been joined to his death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, are being brought forth anew. We become a new creation, a new humanity, a perfected humanity within, in union with the divine. This is the perfection of the gift. This is the good and perfect gift that St. James is talking about. But he's talking about it within the reality of our brokenness that continues to endure. If you were here for Matins this morning, you heard in the second reading in the gospel lesson the story of the raising of Lazarus just before the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord. Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, and we know the story that and Jesus being summoned, getting there, and of course he calls into the tomb, into this tomb of where there is rottenness, there is death, and he calls forth Lazarus, and Lazarus miraculously is risen, but he's still bound up in his grave clothes. And Jesus says to the people there, he said, loose him. Loose him. You see, even in our death, burial, and resurrection with our Lord, even in being joined to this good and perfect gift of divinity being enjoined to our very beings, being raised from the death of our own sins and our brokenness, there is still an unloosing. We still have to have the grave cloths taken off. And this, I believe, is a lifetime. A lifetime of devoting ourselves to the work of righteousness. We are continually reminded of that death, that residual death that abounds within our lives. I've recently been watching on Netflix. It's actually, at this point, a dated series, but it was an award-winning series, which I'm not by any means promoting, and it certainly is not a family, and I want to stress this, it is not a family series, but it's the Sons of Anarchy. And the Sons of Anarchy is, besides being a graphically violent series of an outlaw motorcycle gang, I have found, and what I found compelling about the show is is an underlying theological message that is being brought about. That in the abject criminality and unrestrained carnality of these outlaw bikers, there is a struggle that is going on. And the main character, Jax Teller, who was the son of the founder of that motorcycle club, begins reading his father's journal and his father expressing just before his death his desire to return his club back to a place where it was before they became a criminal enterprise. When the fraternalism of their organization is what really brought them the true joy and meaning. And within the criminality, Jax, as now the new president, is struggling in the drug trafficking, in the deaths and murders that have happened. And as he sits down, much like his father, a very contemplative man, he writes in his journal, he says, "Every day a box is given to us." And he said, when we take the lid off the box and look inside, we either see it as a gift or as a coffin. We see it as a gift or as a coffin. We're the ones which determine which it is. And I think that despite the fact that there's probably very little Christian value in this particular series, I think it's a profound truth in terms of what we're talking about today. You see, as we have traveled and are traveling and ready to close out the season of Pascha, as we begin to head back into the more ordinary routines of life, every day we must see is a paschal gift. Every day we are given a box. As we wake up, as we put our feet on the floor, and we have no way of knowing the day before what is inside that box. And as the day unfolds, as we take the lid off the box, as we look into the box, we realize that there could be great joy. There could be unimaginable joy and blessings that come from that. But as the day unfolds, we could recognize that that day may be filled with gall, with tears, with bitterness, with pain. And yes, even the presence of death. But do we receive that box? Do we receive that gift? Do we receive that box as a gift or a good and perfect gift, or do we receive it as a coffin? As a means of laying down our own life in our response to the circumstances of life? You see, here's the goodness of what Jesus has given us, that St. James is revealing to us in this perfection, and that is that the perfection comes about in our relationships to others and how we respond and how we approach life and all the thorniness and all the bitterness and all the pain of life, how we respond in the heart and soul. Do we do so wagging our tongues? And Saint James, that's why he says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Because Jesus said, out of the mouth comes cursing. Out of the mouth comes the dirt of our soul. It's not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out of the mouth. The mouth, our words which we speak, really indict us, do they not? And yet, as we open that box each day, as we have been given this gift, and every day, I tell you, is a good and perfect gift. Just as we have been enjoined to a spouse, and even in the imperfection and the dysfunction of that marriage, we begin to see our other spouse and his or her imperfections as a good and perfect gift, because it's within that context that I am working out my salvation, that I'm seeing my own wrath, my own unforgiveness, my own bitterness, And together in a synergistic relationship, God is bringing about, God is enjoining us to the Spirit of Christ and bringing about new life. It is a good and perfect gift. This past week was a very testing time for me at work, just as the week before was a testing time in the context of the church. It just seems like I have not had a break in back-to-back weeks, but I think that God is revealing and doing something in my own heart and soul. And of course, this week, in terms of work, and as for any of you that work within the secular world, you know that the work environment oftentimes can be a very toxic, an unchristian and ungodly place, with backbiting, with dirty politics, with deception and dishonesty, and grabbing for power, greed, and it can get very ugly. And sometimes when we are the ones who have been offended, we can grow angry and indignant, and absolutely feel that we have a right to be angry and indignant for being disrespected, for being harmed, for not being treated as others would want themselves to be treated. But as we respond and in a way in which reveals our own uncontrolled passions, our own tendencies to either be unforgiving or to burst forth with uncontrolled wrath and anger because I deserve to be angry, reveals to us the extent in which death is still abiding in us. We need to receive even those days or those weeks as that good and perfect gift, because it is in that context, it is within the messiness and the disappointment and the tears and the bitterness of this life that God is taking off the grave clothes. Those circumstances, we can choose to be our coffin. We can choose to lie there in our own unforgiveness, in our own sulking, in our own anger. Or we can choose to rise up and offer even the worst of days back to our Lord. We have been given the great gift of our Lord Jesus, but it's done so within the context of this material life in time and history. We celebrate Mother's Day today in the secular world, and in thinking about the gift that certainly my parents were to us, despite their own faults and failures, warts and blemishes, I am reminded of the gift, particularly of my mom, who must have spent countless unimaginable hours trying to raise five boys. But as I contemplated the gift of God and the course of my life, I thought to myself, when I was a boy, I needed a mother. But when I became a young man, I needed a wife. That was my next level of God beginning to work out my salvation. But as an older man, not that I don't still need my wife, but as an older man, God has given me another mother, a spiritual mother, the preeminent of the saints, the gift which our Lord, who is the giver of perfect gifts, coming down from the Father of lights, gave to his church there at the cross when he said, "Behold, your mother." This was the gift. It wasn't just the gift of motherhood in terms of our own biological having been born, but the gift of motherhood as a way of pointing us back to the giver of gifts, back to Christ. You know, there is a criticism within Orthodoxy that we are a patriarchal church that are not sensitive to women because we're an all-male clergy. And if we had the same piety as Protestantism, I would say that's probably true. But if we look up behind the altar, we can see that there is a balance. There is a piety in honoring our mother, whose Lord sits enthroned upon her lap. She who gave birth to the giver of life offers him back to us. And she intercedes on behalf of all of us as every day we are given that box. And as every day we open up the lid, and even in the most awful things that we may be facing, we have the joy of knowing that she is interceding for us, that she is assisting us in removing the grave clothes and bringing us back into the joy and the reality of a resurrected life in him, that we may let go of the resentment, the hostility, the unforgiveness, that we may let go of all those things that draw us ever inward to that place of death, that gift may not be a coffin, but a portal back to paradise. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks to our mother, the most holy Theotokos, who is more honorable than the cherubim, more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim, as the church hymns. Thou who without stain bearest God the word, and art truly Theotokos, we magnify thee. She who points us back to the gift, to the giver of gift, our Lord Jesus. Let us give thanks for in every relationship and circumstance of life, he is manifest if we will only choose that life is there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.